Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you. We're going to read this morning from Micah chapter 6. Micah is towards the end of the Old Testament, and I'll give you a moment or two just to locate that. The times that Micah is referring to were very difficult times. They were very evil and corrupt times, and the practices that were going on in the land was very displeasing to God. They were paying lip service to God. Their actions completely contradicted what they were saying to God and how they were pretending to live. Such was the day in which they lived. They would actually pay prophets to preach what they wanted to hear. They would pay prophets to say things are fine. God is happy with what we're doing, and God will not judge us. And so Micah is speaking out at a time with such evil and corruption in the land. We're going to read from verse 1 of chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? We'll end at verse 8. Let's just seek God's face in prayer together. Our God and our Father, as we turn to your word, we pray, O God, that we might settle in your presence. Lord, there are hundreds of different things going through our minds at this time, legitimate concerns, anxieties and fears, distractions of many sorts. We pray, Lord, that in your grace you might enable us to set all those things aside just for this short time, that we might hear your voice, that your word might speak into our hearts, that we might find true encouragement and challenge from Almighty God himself. Speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. What if I could tell you this morning what the will of God is for your life and my life in 2020? We're coming to the end of a year. We're coming to the start of a new year. So what if I could tell you what the will of God is for your life for the year ahead? Now, before you think I've turned into some sort of mystic Meg, I'm not talking about things that are personal and individual. I'm not going to be able to tell you if you should change your job. I won't be able to tell you if you should go to university or leave school, or indeed which university, or whether you should retire, whether you should marry. They are things for you to pray through and to decide for yourself. What we're looking at this morning is the life-changing will of God, which is for every one of us. As we approach a new year, we all appreciate some guidance as we go forward together. And in Micah 6 and verse 8, we hope we're going to see what God's will is for every one of us without exception. This is a verse that I mentioned at CB Friends that has meant so much to me over many years and has kept me going through thick and thin. The verse says, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" Here we find God's revealed will for our lives. Here we find instruction on how we should live in 2020. Here we find the kind of people that God wants us to be. It's worth reminding ourselves that we're not looking this morning at some sort of philosophy. We're not looking at some man's theory or an opinion or indeed some sort of moral code with which we sign up to join a specific club. Rather, this morning, this is God engaging with us and telling us how to live. Now, we all agree that salvation is all of grace. We can't emphasize that enough. Salvation is all of grace. But we have a major part to play when it comes to our walk with God. Thinking in terms of our sanctification, from the moment we're saved, going forward, we have a part to play. Now, I'm sure many of us at this time of year will take the time to sit down and reflect back on 2019. I know some of you take that very seriously, others perhaps not so much so. But as we think back, even as a church, we are very aware that there's been all kinds of experiences in the past year. For some, there's been the tremendous joy and excitement of a new arrival, the birth of a son or a daughter, and that excites everyone. And of course, for some, it has brought the loss of a loved one, and that has been difficult to bear. For some, 2019 has been a year of spiritual battle, a real spiritual struggle, perhaps temptation that you've never known before. Some, because of change in their lives, have continued to struggle with what has become their new normal. Some have had to deal with health issues. And when health issues are chronic, then that brings a kind of a different struggle. It brings a mental and physical and spiritual struggle. Some, of course, have come to faith in Christ. And you couldn't get any better news than to hear that someone has come to trust the Lord. That excites all of us. There is no better news. There have been happy times. There have been sad times. There have been difficult times. And there have been joyful times. That's last year. What of the year to come? What of 2020? What will the year bring? What I want to say to you this morning is that regardless of what the year brings, be it the best of times or the worst of times, in God's word we find God's will for our lives in every situation. In Micah 6 and 8, we are told to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it like this: "But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously." I find that very helpful. But as hopefully we unpack this verse this morning, there's three very obvious things that jump out to us. The first one is what it is that we're to do. The second one, how it is that we're to do it. And we'll close by looking at why exactly we should do it. Why we should obey this instruction. Firstly then, what is it that we're required to do? The ESV that we've read together says to do justice. The NIV says to act justly. And the King James Version says, to do justly. The meaning of the phrase is actually quite wide. In one sense, it can speak of the justice that we expect in the courts, the justice that we expect in our laws, and the justice that we expect in our daily lives. It speaks right down to how we interact with one another. In other words, how we treat one another. Essentially, God is telling us that in every sphere of life and in every situation, we are to do the right thing. That's a phrase that has gripped me. To do justice, I understand that to some extent. When I boil it right down and realize God's telling me in every situation to do the right thing, then I understand exactly what God's requiring of me. But be careful this morning. Be careful if you're thinking to yourself, well, that's quite simple. That's quite straightforward. We can live with that. But let me remind you of Paul's words in Romans 7. Paul said, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. This is not as simple as it sounds. If Paul struggled, I will struggle. If Paul struggled, you too will struggle. How would you feel if, when you go to a garage to get fuel, be it unleaded or diesel, and you fill your car, say, with 40 litres of fuel? You've been doing that for weeks, months on end, and then you discover that every time that you filled up with 40 litres, it turns out it was only 39. You wouldn't be terribly pleased. But you're going to be even more annoyed when you discover that it was deliberately done. Now, they didn't have cars in Micah's time. Neither did they have unleaded fuel or diesel. But that's the kind of practice that was taking place. People were becoming rich through someone else becoming poor. You're probably aware that in Proverbs 11, we read the words, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. These things matter to God. Even the everyday things in life, they all matter to God. How we conduct business matters to God. If we are honest or dishonest with one another in our dealings, it actually matters to God. God requires us to do the right thing in every situation. Even if we're faced with something distressing, do the right thing. Now, in order to do the right thing, we must first of all choose to do the right thing. And that's quite empowering to think that you can have a choice, but it's also quite revealing because it brings home the fact that you are responsible for your choices. But I want to put it to you this morning that when God tells us to do the right thing, the choice is ours. But the strength and the grace to carry it out comes from God. Think of two contrasting examples in the Old Testament, that of David and that of Joseph. Doing the right thing isn't always easy. When you think of David and Bathsheba, and you think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, Joseph ran from the sin, the temptation that was before him. He ran from it. And in a sense, David, when tempted, ran towards it. Two contrasting examples of what happens when we face temptation. But the choice is ours. No matter how difficult it is to do the right thing, in any circumstance, choose it, and God will give you the grace to see it through. That grace isn't always given beforehand. It's something that God provides when you need it, at the very moment you need it. But God wants you to choose it, and he will provide the grace to see it through. We could well find ourselves in difficult situations in the year to come, be it in our family life, our personal life, or our work life. We could find ourselves in a situation that is so complicated that it's very difficult to resolve. We could think of situations where when we choose one solution, we hurt and offend someone. And if we choose another solution, we're going to hurt and offend someone else. How do we resolve those difficult circumstances? How do we make right something that's wrong and needs resolved, but it's very difficult? Establish what it is to do the right thing. What is the right thing to do? Because that is what God wants you to do. And leave the consequences with God. Sometimes we trip ourselves up trying to make the right choice because we run ahead as to what will happen if we choose that. Leave the consequences with God. I'm sure you would agree with me when I say there is no league table for sin. Sin is sin. It's not categorized. It's not put into a table. But I do believe with all my heart that there is a league table for the consequences of sin. There are some sins that we can commit that literally offend God and affect us. But there are other sins we can commit that have wide-ranging consequences. We could find ourselves in a situation where to make the wrong choice could have serious consequences. You could lose your testimony by making the wrong choice. You could lose your integrity by making the wrong choice. You could damage your family by making the wrong choice. You could even damage the reputation of this local church. You could make shipwreck of your life. Doing the right thing is bigger than it sounds. But God says, in every situation, whatever 2020 brings, do the right thing. Secondly, then, we move on to how is it that we're meant to do it? If we're required to always do the right thing, then the next instruction tells us the manner in which we are to do it. In verse 8, we find we are to love kindness. Again, there's a width and a depth of meaning to this phrase, to love kindness. The NIV says that we are to love mercy. And the word contains all that. The phrase contains all that. It's about loving kindness, loving mercy, and it's even loyal love. There's such a width to the meaning of this. I always find when I'm looking at the meaning of words and phrases, I always think of the words of our dear late brother, Pastor Jim Henry, who's a brother I love dearly in the Lord. And he used to always say that he knew a little Greek and a little Hebrew. And funny enough, they both owned restaurants. We told him it wasn't funny either at the time. Essentially, putting together the whole meaning and depth of the phrase, essentially we are to show kindness and mercy towards others. In choosing and doing the right thing, we are to do it in a way that we demonstrate both kindness and mercy. We're not to be like the Pharisees, holding to the letter of the law, stern and judgmental. We're to show kindness and mercy, not because we're weak, but because we're doing the right thing. Could I ask you gently, graciously, and I ask myself the same question, how are we known in our families? Is it kind said? Is it grumpy said? Is it harsh said? Is it loving said? This applies to me as much as everyone else here this morning. How are we known in our families? How are we known in our school or our workplace? Are we known for our kindness? God wants us to be. God's will for our lives in the coming year is that we do the right thing, yes, but in so doing, we also demonstrate kindness and mercy. Notice too that we're to love kindness. It's not just showing it, but we're to love it. In other words, we're to value it. We're to cherish it. We're to appreciate it. We're to encourage it. Show kindness to everyone. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, God is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. It could be that you've had a very difficult year in 2019. It could be, as you look back, things have been particularly difficult for you. Perhaps you're feeling spiritually battered and spiritually bruised this morning. Can I say to you, if that is so, be kind to yourself. Perhaps you didn't get everything right. Perhaps you've been beating yourself up, spiritually speaking. Be kind to yourself. Kindness and mercy, of course, are linked with compassion. It's when we feel compassion that we then act in kindness and in mercy. The Lord Jesus had compassion on crowds that he would come across and crowds that would gather. And that compassion often meant that Jesus would heal people. And so often he would also feed people. Often we feel compassion, and that's what triggers the acts of kindness and mercy towards other folk. Kindness and mercy can have a very powerful impact on someone's life. Micah 6 and 8 is all about how we interact with other people. It really is about how we treat other people. It should not surprise us to read in Galatians 5 that kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So not only are we instructed to love and demonstrate kindness and mercy, it's actually an evidence that we're born again of the Spirit of God. Can you profess to be a believer in Christ and not have some demonstration of kindness and mercy towards others in your life? We're required by God in this coming year to do the right thing and to do it whilst showing love and kindness. And then finally, why we should be obeying this instruction. We've seen what we're to do and how we're to do it, but why should we obey it? Micah 6 and 8 says to walk humbly with your God. If you need motivated this morning to do the right thing, here it is. If you need motivated this morning to show kindness and mercy, here it is. To walk humbly with your God, says Micah, we are walking with God. To understand and appreciate that as believers we actually walk with God throughout our Christian lives, that becomes our motivation to obey his word. We are walking with God. Is that a reality this morning? If it's not been a reality last year, it can be a reality next year. Walking with God. When we don't do the right thing, and when we don't show kindness and mercy, generally, it's because we've lost sight of the fact that as believers, we walk with God. And of course, this is a two-sided coin. On the one hand, our help and our strength is close at hand. If we're walking with God, then all the resources of God are right beside us. Walking with God means we're walking with the very one who can comfort us, enable us, grant us courage and give us the strength to do the right thing. So that's one side of the coin. Walking with God means we have all the help that the psalmist talked about when he said, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." All that help, all that strength at our disposal because we're walking with God. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. But what of the other side of the coin? I'm sure you're aware there's a growing number of people getting quite concerned in the belief that they're being listened to by their mobile phones. Now, most of you will be aware of this great concern, but some of you may not. People are anxious that their phone is listening to them all of the time. And they will give the example that, say they're wanting to buy a pair of blue shoes. I don't know why you would, but if they were, and they would be chatting to someone about they're looking out for blue shoes. If you ever see blue shoes in the shop, let me know because I'm after a pair and I can't find them anywhere. And then when they look at their Facebook that night, they discover there's adverts for blue shoes. And they're thinking, that hurt me. That listened to me. What they sometimes forget is that they weren't just asking someone about the blue shoes, but they had Googled it. They had been searching for the blue shoes via Google. And I can guarantee you, your searches on your phone with Google will bring the adverts for what you've been searching. But these people believe more and more that the phone doesn't just act on your searches, but actually it's listening to you. I will leave that for your own decision. For sure, the adverts come based on your searches. But is it actually listening to you? Well, what if your phone recorded every word you said? What if your phone witnessed everything that you've done in the past year? What if the phone was able to read your mind and your heart and could reveal your very secret thoughts? Of course it can't. But God can and does. This is the other side of the coin. Yes, we have all the resources of God because we're walking with God, but walking with God also means that we are totally, utterly transparent and exposed. Every word, every deed, every thought is known by God. Oh, to take that awareness into 2020, that we've all the help that we need because we're walking with God, but we also are exposed. Everything we say, think, and do is known by this same God. Notice Micah doesn't just say to walk before God, because that would apply to everybody. The whole world walks before God, but only believers walk with God. Oh, we're to walk humbly with God. What other way could you walk with God but with humility? We have nothing to be proud of. We come naked and empty to God, to His grace, and find salvation that's been provided by Him. But we're to walk humbly with God in fellowship with God. How amazing is the grace of God that Almighty God wants to walk with us. God values a humble heart that seeks to do what is right, that is constantly promoting kindness and mercy to others in order that he or she can enjoy fellowship with Almighty God. Whatever this coming year has in store for us, God's revealed will for each one of us this morning is that come what may, we do the right thing always. We love and practice kindness and mercy always. And we walk humbly with our God. Perhaps you've already realized that there was someone There was someone who always did the right thing in his life. There was someone who always demonstrated kindness and mercy to others. And there was someone who always walked humbly with God. And of course, we're referring to the Lord Jesus himself. He has done those things perfectly. Well, when we think of 2020, let's take Jesus with us into the new year. Whatever has happened last year, we begin afresh. Take Jesus with you. Oh, we're being exhorted this morning to do these things because they will make us like Christ. Micah is really revealing to us Christ. He's the one that did those things perfectly. We can follow his example in 2020. Take Christ with you into the new year. Oh, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be more and more like Jesus in this coming year as we are enabled to do the right thing, to show kindness and mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. May God bless you.